Today is a very auspicious day, Sri Rama Ekadasi. It is the first of two Ekadasis in the month of Kartik. But it has some special significance for us beyond just being first Ekadasi in the month of Kartik, because it is the day that Srila Prabhupada completed his translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bombay. I remember the day well. Srila Prabhupada's practice was to go for a walk on Juhu Beach in the morning, leaving at 6 o'clock. And so a few of us would come to his quarters a little before six to accompany him. But on this particular morning, when we got to the top of the stairs, we found that the door was locked, which was very unusual. I mean, the door was almost never locked. So we knocked and we waited. And eventually, Srila Prabhupada's secretary opened the door, just a crack. And he was in a very animated state. He told us that that night Srila Prabhupada had completed his translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita into English, and that Srila Prabhupada had composed the most wonderful glorification of his own spiritual master at the end, and that Srila Prabhupada was in a very ecstatic mood. And he said that the devotees should celebrate by having a feast. Now, in the Vedic calculation, a day begins with sunrise. So I believe that when we met Srila Prabhupada's secretary, it was on the morning. Well, actually couldn't say for sure, 6 o'clock. But in any case, sometime, what would be tonight, the night of Rama Ekadasi, Srila Prabhupada finished the translation and dictated what is called the concluding words to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I shall read those to you on this auspicious occasion. Please repeat. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, concluding words. Today, Sunday, November 10th, 1974, corresponding to the 10th of Kartik, Chaitanya Era 488, the 11th day of the dark fortnight, the Rama Ekadasi. We have now finished the English translation of Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In accordance with the authorized order of His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj, my beloved eternal spiritual master, guide, and friend. Although according to material vision, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, passed away from this material world on the last day of December, 1936, I still consider His Divine Grace to be always present with me by His Vani, His words. There are two ways of association, by Vani and by Vapu. Vani means words, and Vapu means physical presence. Physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not, but Vani continues to exist eternally. Therefore, we must take advantage of the Vani, not the physical presence. Bhagavad Gita, for example, is the Vani of Lord Krishna. Although Krishna was personally present 5,000 years ago and is no longer physically present from the materialistic point of view, Bhagavad Gita continues. So here in the first paragraph, Srila Prabhupada sets the theme for the entire concluding words. The theme is that the spiritual master is present by his instructions, and the disciple can feel his presence by following the instructions. And specifically in relation to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we will find that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave Srila Prabhupada two instructions that culminated in the translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. One was to preach in the English language for people all over the world. And the other was to write books. These were two common elements to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's desire for his disciples, that they should preach, and he specifically wanted them to preach in English, to bring the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Western world, and to write and publish and distribute books. In this connection, we may call to memory the time when I was fortunate enough to meet His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Sometime in the year 1922, Srila Prabhupada had come to Calcutta from Shridham Mayapur to start the missionary activities of the Gaudiya Mutt. He was sitting in a house at Ultadanga when, through the inducement of an intimate friend, the late Sriman Narendranath Mallick, I had the opportunity to meet His Divine Grace for the first time. I do not remember the actual date of the meeting, but at that time I was one of the managers of Dr. Bose's laboratory in Calcutta. I was a newly married young man, addicted to Gandhi's movement, and dressed in khadi. Fortunately, even at our first meeting, His Divine Grace advised me to preach the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English in the Western countries. Because at that time, I was a complete nationalist, a follower of Mahatma Gandhi's, I submitted to His Divine Grace that unless our country were freed from foreign subjugation, no one would hear the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seriously. Of course, we had some argument on this subject, but at last I was defeated and convinced that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message is the only panacea for suffering humanity. I was also convinced that the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was then in the hands of a very expert devotee, and that surely the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spread all over the world. Srila Prabhupada has told us that he was a leader amongst his circle of friends, and they were particularly eager for him to meet Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so they would know if he approved of this saintly person, because they valued his judgment so much. Srila Prabhupada also relates that when he was growing up, he saw many so-called sadhus, people who put on the garb of saintly persons, but who are not genuinely saintly persons. He perceived that they were ordinary, mundane people, dressing as sadhus, so that they could collect money and provisions and live. There was a residential dwelling across the street from his home, and he saw these people dress up as sadhus during the day and go out and collect. And then they'd come back in the evening and change their dress and be just like ordinary people, enjoying life in a mundane way. And then the next morning they would dress up as sadhus and go out again. So Srila Prabhupada developed a skepticism in relation to sadhus. And initially, when his friend requested him to meet Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada didn't even want to go, because he thought he might be another sadhu like all the rest. In other words, a so-called sadhu. But somehow they prevailed, and he went. And as he describes it, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was sitting on the terrace of the building at Ultadanga Junction, which I visited the last time I was in India, 2 years ago. And he was sitting on an elevated seat, and all the disciples were sitting down. And Srila Prabhupada was very new. He didn't know the etiquette, so he sat on a chair on the same level as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Later he realized he had made a mistake in etiquette. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur straight away asked him to preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English. And it was a very sudden and abrupt and bold request. And Srila Prabhupada, being a nationalist, a follower of Mahatma Gandhi's, gave his argument that, you know, India should first gain political independence, then people would hear the message of India more seriously. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that political dependence and independence are relative dualities of the material world, and that the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is absolute. It's not dependent on any material conditions, and it is too important to wait. It must be preached immediately. And Srila Prabhupada admitted that he had been defeated by the superior logic of his Guru Maharaj. And he said it was the first time in his life he had ever been defeated in argument. And he said he was glad that he was defeated by his Guru Maharaj. Of course, we had some argument on this subject. But at last I was defeated and convinced that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message is the only panacea for suffering humanity. I was also convinced that the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was then in the hands of a very expert devotee, and that surely the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spread all over the world. I could not, however, immediately take up his instructions to preach. But I took his words very seriously, and was always thinking of how to execute his order, although I was quite unfit to do so. This is another important principle. We may receive an instruction from the spiritual master and not be able to execute it immediately due to circumstances. So what do we do in such a situation? As Srila Prabhupada wrote, he always remembered the instruction of the spiritual master. He kept the instruction in his heart and waited for the opportunity to execute it. I had a similar experience. Srila Prabhupada instructed me to write, and even said that he would like me to travel with him, and he would train me how to write. But within 2 days, one of the more senior devotees, one of the leaders, wanted to begin a traveling Sankirtan party, and he asked Srila Prabhupada if he could have me. And Srila Prabhupada agreed. So I went with him, but I had, you know, I took the instruction and I went out and I bought, you know, some lined paper and some pens and pencils so I could begin my writing. After about 2 weeks preaching in Agra and Aligarh, Srila Prabhupada sent a telegram saying that he was putting on a large Pandal program in Bombay and that we should come and join him and help. So we went to Bombay, and Shamsundar Prabhu was the temple president then. And he had a meeting with all the devotees to divide up the duties. And he assigned me to raise funds. So I told him that Srila Prabhupada had instructed me to write. And Shamsundar Prabhu replied, "You can write any time, but this is one opportunity we have. We can go to any man's office in Bombay and knock on his door and ask him to contribute an advertisement in our souvenir book. So you should do this now." So I thought about it. I knew that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to cooperate with our authorities. And furthermore, what he said made sense. So it was a special opportunity. We could go to anyone and ask for an advertisement. They wouldn't pay out of their own pocket. The business would pay for the advertisement. So it made sense. And I did it. After some weeks, Srila Prabhupada arrived. And of course, that was a great occasion whenever Srila Prabhupada would arrive at a center. And so he came into his room he would smile at everyone and beam and glance and have some little exchange with them. And then he came to me and he said, "So, Giriraj, how is your writing going?" And I was so flustered, I didn't know what to say. He said, "All right, we'll talk later." So then a little later, Srila Prabhupada called for me, and he repeated his question, and I explained what had happened, that I had my writing paper and my pens and pencils, and I was all ready to begin, but that Shamsundar Prabhu had asked me to collect for the Pandal program. He said it was no special opportunity, and that made sense, and I knew that you wanted us to cooperate with our authorities. So I did it. But within myself, I wasn't sure if I had done the right thing or not. I was very apprehensive about how Srila Prabhupada would respond. And he replied that one may suspend the order of the spiritual master, but one may never neglect it. And then he said, just like my Guru Maharaj instructed me to write, but I have been so busy traveling in India and preaching that I haven't had much time to write. So we may suspend the order of the spiritual master, but we can never neglect it. And this is what Srila Prabhupada is saying here. He received the order. He was unable to execute it immediately, but he always kept it in his heart, and he waited for the right time. In this way, I passed my life as a householder until 1950, when I retired from family life as a vanaprastha. With no companion, I loitered here and there until 1958, when I took sannyas. Then I was completely ready to discharge the order of my spiritual master. Previously, in 1936, just before His Divine Grace passed away at Jagannath Puri, I wrote him a letter asking what I could do to serve him. In reply, he wrote me a letter dated 13th December 1936, ordering me in the same way to preach in English the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as I had heard it from him. So the same instruction was repeated just about 2 weeks before his Guru Maharaj passed away. And so there was no doubt that that was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's desire for him. And Srila Prabhupada took that desire as his life and soul, that instruction, and he dedicated himself to its execution. After he passed away, I started the fortnightly magazine Back to Godhead sometime in 1944 and tried to spread the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through this magazine. After I took sannyas, a well-wishing friend suggested that I write books instead of magazines. Magazines, he said, might be thrown away, but books remain perpetually. Then I attempted to write Srimad Bhagavatam. Before that, when I was a householder, I had written on Srimad Bhagavad Gita and had completed about 1,100 pages. But somehow or other, the manuscript was stolen. In any case, when I published Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto in 3 volumes in India, I thought of going to the USA. So, Prabhupada took the instruction to heart. He took the mission very seriously. He wanted to come to America to preach, although he said usually the Swamis thought of London, but he thought of New York. And he really felt ready when he had books, because he was convinced not just importance of book distribution, but the necessity of book distribution to spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so when he had the books, he was ready. we can see after writing 1,100 pages and having the manuscript stolen, someone could become discouraged. But Srila Prabhupada persevered. He didn't give up. So now we have come to the stage where we have 2 minutes before the curtains open and Damodar Astika begins. We have a fair amount more to read and discuss. So we could either just end now and have Damodar Astika and continue tomorrow morning. That would be easy as far as the schedule goes. The difficulty is that some of you who are here now might not be able to come back tomorrow morning. Or we could have Damodar Astika and then, if we're in the mood, we could continue after Damodar Astika, or we could keep going and squeeze in Damodar Astika. I don't know, we need some authority here to guide us. Just the person, as if in fulfillment of my need and desire. Continue right now. Okay. Okay. The authority has spoken. Now we have no doubts. All of our confusion is dispelled. So, we began with the instruction to preach in English, coupled with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's desire for magazines and books to be published and distributed, and we came to books over magazines, and we came to Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, we come to Prabhupada's arrival in America and his translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. By the mercy of his divine grace, I was able to come to New York on September 17th, 1965. Since then, I have translated many books, including Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, a summary, and many others. In the meantime, I was induced to translate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and publish it in an elaborate version. In his leisure time in later life, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would simply read Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was his favorite book. He used to say that there would be a time when foreigners would learn the Bengali language to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. The work on this translation began about 18 months ago. Now, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it is finished. So Srila Prabhupada took to heart the order of his spiritual master. He took it as his life and soul. But he was open to receiving good advice from other people. They may have been devotees or may not have been devotees. One suggestion was that he write books instead of magazines. And now we find that he was induced, that means somebody or some number of people requested him to translate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And although he was fixed on the order of his spiritual master, he did not, he was open to his spiritual master speaking to him through other mouths, through other voices. And he took their advice in support of the basic instruction that he received from His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it is finished. In this connection, I have to thank my American disciples, especially Sriman Pradumya Das Adhikari, Sriman Nitai Das Adhikari, Sriman Jayadwaita Das Brahmachari, and many other boys and girls who are sincerely helping me in writing, editing, and publishing all these literatures. Again, Srila Prabhupada does not take the credit for himself. He gives the credit to his Guru Maharaj and to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu above him, and he gives the credit to his disciples who were helping him. He didn't take any of the credit. Now we come to a very important paragraph. They're all important, but this is especially important. I think that His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is always seeing my activities and guiding me within my heart by His words. Now, in the very beginning, Srila Prabhupada said that he was guided by His spiritual master's vani, by his spiritual master's words. Words that were spoken to him by his spiritual master during his spiritual master's physical presence. That you should preach the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English in the Western countries. Now he's extending the principle beyond the spiritual master words spoken to him audibly, face to face or in writing, to the guidance that he received from his spiritual master within the heart. And of course, one must be very pure to receive that kind of direction from within the heart. But that direction is always available. I think that His Divine Grace, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is always seeing my activities. He's not just giving instruction within the heart, but he's seeing our activities. On another occasion, Srila Prabhupada said he felt that his Guru Maharaj is always looking over his shoulder and observing what he is doing. And he said, we should feel like that, that our Guru Maharaj is always by our side. Shri Radha Kalachanji Ki Jai, Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai, Shri Shigor Nitai Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we'll continue just a little bit longer. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. Spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His Paramatma feature, is always sitting with all his devotees and associates. We know from Scripture that the Lord is within the heart. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matasmitir gyanam apohanam cha, that he's situated within the heart of the living entities. And from him comes knowledge and remembrance and forgetfulness. And there are many other verses. Ishwara sarva bhutanam hridesher junatishtati. But here, Srila Prabhupada is taking the information that we get in the Bhagavad Gita and elaborating upon it, that the Lord, yes, the Lord is in the heart, but he's not alone in the heart. He is accompanied by his associates and servants, including what Srila Prabhupada is saying here, including his spiritual master. His spiritual master is sitting in his heart as one of the associates of the Paramatma within the heart. And actually, for a pure devotee, one can realize Krishna, Vrindavan, the entire spiritual world within his heart. And the spiritual master is also there. So he can give us guidance from within the heart. Of course, he gives guidance from within the heart when we keep his instructions in our hearts. But he can also give us guidance from within the heart, because he's there in the heart along with Krishna. It is to be admitted that whatever translation work I have done is through the inspiration of my spiritual master, because personally I am most insignificant and incompetent to do this materially impossible work. I do not think myself a very learned scholar. I do not think myself a very learned scholar, but I have full faith in the service of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If there is any credit to my activities of translating, it is all due to His Divine Grace. Can we keep the children quiet or take them out for a few minutes? Thank you. So this is really the mood of a surrendered soul, of a Vaishnava. He doesn't feel himself capable of doing anything on his own strength or power, but he feels completely dependent on the mercy of his superior authorities. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada spoke in relation to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, that his chariot was decorated with the flag bearing the picture of Hanuman. And Srila Prabhupada explained that his mood was that Hanuman was the previous acharya for fighting for the Lord. So Arjuna's mood was that, O Hanuman, you also fought for the Lord, Ramachandra, and I also now have to fight for the Lord. So please guide me. I am helpless on my own, and I am dependent on your mercy. And then Srila Prabhupada said that in all activities, the Vaishnava always feels helpless and dependent on the mercy of previous acharyas. And then he gave the example of the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that he, every line, every word, he was praying to Rupa Raghunath. I am helpless. I cannot write. So you kindly help me. You please guide me. Rupa Raghunatha Padayara Asha Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahi Krishna Das. Every line, every word, he's praying to Rupa Raghunatha. And Srila Prabhupada is exemplifying the same mood here, feeling himself helpless to do this materially impossible task on his own, and praying for mercy and depending on mercy from his superiors. If there is any credit to my activities of translating, it is all due to his divine grace. Certainly, if his divine grace were physically present at this time, it would have been a great occasion for jubilation. But even though he is not physically present, I am confident that he is very pleased by this work of translation. He was very fond of seeing many books published to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, has formed to execute the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his divine grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So every sentence here is filled with meaning. Srila Prabhupada said if his divine grace were physically present, it would have been an occasion of great jubilation. But then he says, even though he's not physically present, Prabhupada is confident that he's pleased. That means he is present, but not physically. And our whole goal is to please the spiritual master in Krishna. We follow the instructions in order to please the superiors. And here, Srila Prabhupada is feeling that because he did take up the instruction to preach in English and to translate and write books, that his Guru Maharaj is pleased. He's seeing his activities and he's pleased. And then he extends the same principle to us, his followers, through parampara, that the same order that came to him through parampara is being passed to us through parampara. And the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which we are all associated with, is formed to execute the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there are so many instructions to spread the chanting of the holy names. Prativiteya Chejato Nagaradigram Sarvatra Prachar Hoy Bemar Nam. But here in particular, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing that very important instruction to write and publish and distribute transcendental literature and spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. It is my wish that devotees of Lord Chaitanya all over the world enjoy this translation. So he wrote to please his Guru Maharaj, but he also wrote in the mood of service to all of us that we can benefit from reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and take pleasure in it. Or as Srila Prabhupada said on another occasion, that he wants his disciples not only to distribute his books, but also to read them. I could speak on this for days. Each sentence. It is my wish that devotees of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. That means he wants devotees all over the world. When he wrote this, there were not devotees all over the world. They were in many places, but not all over. And there are still places that we haven't reached that's left for us to do. It is my wish that devotees of Lord Chaitanya all over the world enjoy this translation. And I am glad to express my gratitude to the learned men in the Western countries who are so pleased with my work that they are ordering in advance all my books that will be published in the future. Like professors and librarians would take standing orders, have a standing order that as new books were published by Srila Prabhupada, the university, the library would would take the books. On this occasion, therefore, and this is the occasion, this is Sri Rama Ekadasi. On this occasion, therefore, I request my disciples who are determined to help me in this work to continue their cooperation fully, so that philosophers, scholars, religionists, and people in general, all over the world, will benefit by reading our transcendental literatures, such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In other words, he's requesting us to distribute the books, so that all these different categories of people will get the books. It's basically what he's saying here, but in a very eloquent and beautiful way. On this occasion, therefore, I request my disciples, and we're all Prabhupada's disciples in the sense that we're receiving shiksha from him, I request my disciples who are determined to help me in this work to continue their cooperation fully. Of course, it also included more publications. That's also true. Editing, publishing, and distributing. So that philosophers, scholars, religionists, and people in general all over the world will benefit by reading our transcendental literatures, such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, dated November 10th, 1974, that's 35 years ago, exactly 35 years, at the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, Hare Krishna Land, Juhu, Bombay. Hare Krishna. So, I think we could take one or two questions if you have any, and we'll still have time. Yes, what is your name?
My name is Hari Ramas.
Harinam
Das. I'm from Fiji.
From Fiji?
Yes. Sir.
You've come all the way from Fiji. How wonderful.
Yes. In the time of Srila Prabhupada, 1974, who was the secretary of Srila Prabhupada at that time?
Oh, you mean who greeted us at the top of the stairs?
No. Who was the secretary of Srila Prabhupada in 1974 at that time?
Well, the system was, the person I was referring to was Harikesh Das. Harikesh Das, he was Prabhupada's secretary, and he would type, Prabhupada would dictate, and he would type, he would transcribe the tapes. So he knew what Prabhupada had done that night. Yes, Parameshwar.
We were given an order from our temple authority. Is that on the same magnitude of, in the sense that you said you can delay the order, but not you have to still do it? So how about the example of a temple president in your new office? Does that also apply or not?
Yes, Parameshwar Prabhu is asking that, I'm not sure I got it right, but he's asking if the temple president gives an instruction, can we hold it in abeyance and execute it later, like it might happen with an order from the spiritual master? Or?
That regarding your order to write,
yes,
you said it can be delayed, but you have to carry it out at some point. So similarly, when a new bhakta has a temple president as his authority, and the temple president gives an instruction, let's say, for example, in my situation, I was asked to build a spiritual city. So, you know, is that something that I have to execute, or?
Your temple president told you to build a spiritual city. So you're asking how binding the instruction is upon you?
Yeah, well, certainly if the spiritual master gave me that instruction, I would have to carry out that order. So I'm just wondering, as a new bhakta, it doesn't have a spiritual master yet, and he's given an order like that, what should I do?
Yeah, but it's Prabhupada's order to follow the temple president. I mean, the instruction you received is in a different category. I don't think that a temple president would give such an instruction to a new bhakta. Unless he was, I mean, Prabhupada, he wasn't even a new bhakti. He just came for the first time, and Prabhupada told him to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and he did it. So, why not? Why not? They're all good instructions. Why not? Any other questions or comments? Nityananda Prabhu?
You said that Arjuna threw the flag at Hanuman because Hanuman fought for the Lord just as Arjuna was fighting for the Lord. So we, as the followers of Lord Chaitanya, in his army, we're sort of like the soldiers, the foot soldiers in Lord Chaitanya's army. For us, would it be our spiritual master who should look back to those of us who are grand disciples? Spiritual master should look at whose flags we are flying in the sense that, you know, that their instruction to keep carrying off that we offer our businesses, we pooja to them, and gain our power in the same way, or do we also need to go back and say that we need to also fly the flag?
Nityananda Prabhu's saying that Arjuna got strength from the flag of Hanuman. So we as warriors in Lord Chaitanya's army, are we getting strength from the flag of Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters, or can we get strength from higher authorities beyond them? Of course, we get strength through parampara. We begin with Srila Prabhupada and our own spiritual masters, but we can get strength and inspiration from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I mean, we're all getting strength and inspiration just by hearing Srila Prabhupada tell us about his desires and instructions and mercy. So we get strength from him, from all of our acharyas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the six Goswamis, Madhvacharya, Lord Brahma. We hear about them so that we do get inspiration and guidance. But through parampara, we don't jump over, but through parampara, we can get their mercy and guidance.
Sorry? Hanuman, flying the flag of Hanuman, it seems like Srila Prabhupada didn't emphasize Lord Ramachandra and the Leela of Lord Ramachandra.
I'm not following. Would we be disregarding Prabhupada's mood if we did do Hanuman? I think it's an individual matter. Lord Chaitanya had a devotee who was a bhakta of Lord Ramchandra, and Lord Chaitanya told him that he could remain a bhakta of Lord Ramchandra, but if he wanted to associate with his followers, with Mahaprabhu's followers, which he did want to do, that he should keep his devotion for Lord Ram more internal and engage in the external worship just like the other followers. Yeah. But we have Lord Nrsimhadev. Want some of the especially ferocious support. Any other questions or comments?
Oh, that's right.
Two questions. One is, What prevents or what are obstacles that would make following the instructions of the spiritual master difficult for the disciple? Sometimes an instruction is given and what would prevent a disciple from being able to execute that instruction? And the second question is, sometimes an instruction is not verbally given. Several times, spiritual masters tell us that my instructions are in my lectures or in my discourses. And how does one understand what your particular instruction is, I guess?
Okay, very good question. First question is, what are the obstacles that may come in the way of our executing the order of the spiritual master? Well, once someone mentioned something similar to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, what obstacles? With one kick of my boots, I remove all obstacles. So, I mean, if you want to discuss in more detail, we could do it outside of the class, but for now, that's good enough. What you said is also true, that sometimes a spiritual master will not give an explicit oral or personal instruction in writing to a disciple. He'll say, you know, I've given instructions in my classes or in my books. You follow them. And those are general instructions, you know, to chant the holy names, to read the scriptures, to associate with devotees, to worship the deities, to preach Krishna consciousness. But how do we know what our particular service is, our particular mission? Well, if you're sincere and really eager to serve your spiritual master and the higher authorities, they'll give you the intelligence from within the heart. Even Srila Prabhupada, as he describes it, his Guru Maharaj told him, you know, to spread Krishna consciousness in the English language in the Western world. But he never thought in advance, oh, I'll have to do this and I'll have to do that. But when he came to America, it was revealed gradually what he had to do. And sometimes it came, you know, ideas came from friends, like he's mentioning here. Sometimes they may have come from reading from Krishna in the heart, or from his spiritual master in the heart. And a lot of it was, you could say, trial and error. He tried things, and if they didn't work, he tried something else. You know, or he tried something, it would work for a while, and then it wouldn't work so effectively anymore, and then he would change his approach. A lot of it is that. It's not like zing, like this, the whole blueprint was revealed, the whole, you know, next 12 years, it's like it was automatic and he just did it. No, there was a lot of struggle, a lot of experimentation, if you will, a lot of disappointment. You know, it wasn't easy. It was not easy. And we shouldn't think it will be easy either. You have to try and work, and if we fail, we try again. Any other questions or comments? Oh, well, I thank all of you for being so patient and attentive. I apologize to any devotees who came for darshan and arti, or came with children who were not old enough to, whatever, not quiet enough. But I'm sure that, we just take advantage of these special occasions to remember, Srila Prabhupada, our previous acharyas, and, hear again what their desires are, what their expectations are, what their instructions are. Be purified by hearing their instructions, and rededicate ourselves to following their instructions, which includes relishing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and publishing and distributing books. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.